Welcome to The Interview, a thought-provoking podcast, a place to listen and get curious, a platform for the hard conversations where we discuss the human experience and adversity. Somewhere you can come for a laugh, learn something new and connect with people you have never met before. Let me show you that we all have a story and something to say, but most of all, you are not alone. Hello and welcome back to The Interview. My name is Tess and I'm your host. Thank you for joining me once again. And I also just wanted to jump in and say thank you so much for all of the love on last week's episode. I am truly overwhelmed, surprised. It just surpassed anything that any of us thought it would. We knew it was an amazing story and we knew that it had a profound impact on all of us and still does. But I found myself being like shook all over again that this is something that happened to me, and to have found Barry is just such an incredible thing. So thank you all for your beautiful messages, for the most downloads I think I've ever had in 1 week on an episode. I mean, truly in 24 hours on an episode, it just continues to climb and I continue to get so much beautiful feedback. So thank you so much for that. Now on to today's guest. We are returning with the Loss of a Parent series and we are speaking with Yani. Yani lost her mum when she was just a teenager. And we speak about what it was like knowing that your mum was going to pass away and being given that information that, you know, she had only a year to live and she surpassed that a little bit, but just how that affects your relationship and your perspective on life. We also chat about, you know, becoming a parent yourself and yearning for your mum more and more and for that figure in your life once you kind of recognize just how amazing we are. Mums are amazing. So to not have that there and to kind of be around people that do have that be so tough. We also chat about, you know, the other parent moving on. I think it's such a great thing to discuss because, you know, of course that's life. People move on and find love again, and just, you know, how that's been for her, the complexities surrounding that, and then how it's been such a positive thing for her and how grateful she is for all the amazing people in her life, and also how sometimes death can highlight, you know, some people just can't be there for you the way that you wish that they could. And I think that's something that's so relatable and vulnerable for her to share. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this one, and I'm so appreciative of Yani's openness, vulnerability, as always. All of my guests, so amazing and so raw and real, and it's so incredibly helpful for others. So please enjoy Yani.
Welcome, Yani. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
No worries.
I appreciate it so much. I know it's not an easy topic to chat about. So thank you for putting yourself out there and reaching out. Let's get into the first question. And I'm asking everybody the same questions. The first question is, can you tell us a little bit about your parent who passed away and what they were like as a person?
Yeah, so my mum passed away when I was a teenager. She had breast cancer. And I guess I always think like my description of her is probably very different to people who knew her, you know, her whole life and when she was younger. But to me, she was really independent and strong and resilient and brave and warm and really smart. Yeah, I guess all the things you want in a mum, really.
Yeah, and it sounds like you guys obviously had a pretty good relationship, like for a mother-daughter relationship, especially as a teen.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was probably different. She was sick for a really long time, so I think that probably changed the type of relationship I had with her. She got sick when I was about 8, and she passed away just before I turned 14. So, you know, I guess as you become a teenager and a young adult, your relationship with your mum kind of changes and grows. And I look at women and their mums, you know, into adulthood, and I think how kind of beautiful and different that is. And whether my relationship with her kind of evolved in the same way or not, because she was unwell, but I guess you'll never know. Yeah. But yeah. We grew up on a property 100 km's from the nearest town till I was about 8. And then we moved to the coast, but you know, she was your primary caregiver, our teacher for a couple of years in early primary school. So she was just that real kind of rock of the family, as most mums are, I guess.
Wow. So like homeschooling as well.
Yeah, so we did what they call school of the air. So you kind of have like a primary school that's based in a town, and there's teachers, but they kind of send out lessons and you pick them up in the mail. And we did them on the radio back then. I think they use Zoom and stuff these days. But yeah, it was only for a couple of years in really early primary school. But
Wow. Wow. There's so much to unpack there, because my next question was going to be like, was it, you know, out of the blue or really quick? You know, sometimes people get a diagnosis of cancer and it can be really quick. I guess it makes a lot of sense why you, even at such a young age, like 8, knowing that she was sick in those years, having a bit of, I guess, like perspective and like really cherishing, I guess, as much as you can as a young child. Like, I'm sure you can't, I don't know, like grasp the gravity, the whole gravity of it, but like knowing that you could lose her. And
yeah, I don't think we ever, I've never thought about that before. It never really occurred to me that in the early years when she was sick that she wouldn't be around. Like, I think I kind of got that, but I never really believed it in a way. I don't know if that's it makes sense, but because I very distinctly remember the conversation my parents sat us down and kind of told us that she was terminal when she, because she was originally diagnosed, she had surgery and treatment for however long, and then she was in remission for a little while, and then had like a follow-up scan, and the cancer was in her bones. And so I very distinctly remember the conversation when my parents kind of sat me and my brother down in my brother's bedroom and said that, you know, they think that mum won't be here in a year. So I don't think until that moment it had really occurred to me that she, kind of may not make it through. Maybe that's just like kids' naivety. Maybe it's like a protective mechanism. Maybe it was because we didn't, I don't know. Maybe it was because of like what mum and dad just kind of told us.
And how long from that conversation was it until she passed away?
I think it was like maybe 18 months or 2 years. It was definitely longer than what they'd kind of expected, but it wasn't, you know, like wildly longer. I think maybe she was 51 when she died, I want to say, and they kind of thought maybe she wouldn't turn 50. So so probably a year, a bit more longer, which is, you know, amazing. Like, you know, every day is a blessing, but it wasn't a huge amount of time. Right. But she was sick for a lot of the time that I knew her, really.
Yeah, and so young, still so young to die. Oh, I'm so sorry. How did your mum's death impact you during your childhood and teenage years, and in what ways did it shape who you are today?
I guess because she was sick, that impacted what a part of my childhood looked like. I mean, I had a very like normal, happy, amazing childhood anyway, but I guess for some of it there was, you know, something else kind of going on. And then as a teenager, I guess she wasn't around, you know, you miss that really important person in your life for big moments, you know, TMI, but I got my period like a month after she passed away. So, you know, of course, like.
Yeah, great timing.
My employee always knows the right timing. just those big moments and I guess those conversations. I think I don't know if I really realized until I became a parent myself what I had maybe missed out on. Like, I think there was always it's always kind of an abstract concept. And then when I became a mum myself, it made that really real about all of those conversations that you might have had but you didn't have to think about, like my kids having that experience in their life is more heartbreaking to me than to think about it for myself, which probably sounds a bit like self-important in a way, but it's not. No. It's not about me as a person.
No.
Does that make sense?
I really relate to that. Yeah. Yeah. Because I have always been like, I lost my dad when I was 3. And I've always been like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And now that I have my own kids and we're like when they turned 3, I'm always like, and just the older I get, like, yeah, I really notice it and I feel for little me. And it is, you do miss out in some way. Like, you know, some people live their life without a parent and they're fine. But I don't know. I really relate to that and really understand that. And also, you weren't a woman yet when your mom passed away, and now you're a woman and a mother, and you don't get to have those conversations woman to woman, and for her to see you as a mom, like that's heartbreaking.
And I think probably in your teenage years, you like naturally pull away a bit from your parents anyway, and you're becoming your own person. But I look at relationships that other people have with their mums as an adult, and that, you know, people say that they text their mum every day and they wouldn't go a day without talking to their mum. No, not everyone's like that, but you kind of wonder, well, like, is that the relationship I would have, or would the way that I am with my dad and my stepmom, like we're super close, but you know, we don't talk absolutely, you know, every day. Is that the type of relationship that I would have with my mum anyway? Like, you don't know, do you?
And what kind of support she would provide because she was your mum, and like how different it would be. I know what you're saying. Like, you have obviously, sounds like you have a beautiful support network, but her being your mum and raising you and then being able to be there for you and like watch you as a mum, I just, yeah, that's one of the sadder parts, I think, too, like becoming a parent yourself. It's
And how much time that, you know, parents spend with kids in their younger years, like, you know, even though you might not remember, even for you, like, you might have only been 3, but you spend so much time with your parents, it's gotta have an impact, whether it's, I guess, conscious or subconscious.
Yeah, it's really hard. And it's actually that what you're talking about now is something that I have been asking throughout this series. Like, seeing other people, whether it's you've lost your mum or your dad, like seeing other people be really close with their mums and just yearning for that. And sometimes being, I guess for me personally, like being a little bit jealous or just like so happy for them, but like, gosh, I wish I had that. And especially when you become a parent.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, I would never say that I don't want for support, like have amazing support from my family and from like amazing in-laws as well, amazing friends. Like, I don't want for support or anything specific. So people say, you know, it must be so hard being a parent without your mum around, etc. But kind of, I think everyone just lives life with the cards that you're dealt, and there's lots of worse cards, I think, that other people have been dealt than me. So
Well, that's a nice way to put it too, and a good perspective to have. Definitely. Have you noticed any significant changes in yourself or your relationship since the loss of your mum, and if so, can you describe them?
I think so. I don't think something like that can happen and not impact your relationships. And when it's a family member, there's other members of your family are impacted by that as well. So, you know, they're going through their own grieving process. I'm not probably as close with some family members on my mum's side of the family that we were when I was kind of growing up. That would have happened with kind of time and distance, and everyone moves on with life and you aren't as close with cousins and aunts and uncles. I, you know, grew up in New South Wales, and now I live in Victoria, so a long way from home. And grief affects people in different ways, and sometimes they're not necessarily able to, I think, be there for other people in the way that you would hope some of those people would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to like be obvious or like offensive.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but then like it's also, I guess, opened the door to be closer to other people, and other people come into your life. And I think I've always like this in a weird way look for that kind of mum figure, like probably subconsciously, like you get that from other people in your life, and it might be a different person at a different stage as people come and go, and you know your life you know goes down the road it's going to go down. So I think that's kind of a, I don't know, again, like looking for the positive in things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can, you know, my stepmom's amazing, I've got amazing step siblings, I have a really close relationship with my husband's mum, which, you know, if my mum was around, maybe I wouldn't have that. As a teenager, you know, I have a brother, and you know, he was equally super impacted, and so that made sometimes our relationship a bit challenging. We're both teenagers.
Yeah.
Having gone through a really big thing, trying to find our way in the world.
I had a question, if that's okay. I was just,
yeah,
a couple of things. Like, I would love to know, being teens and then losing your mum, and I'm sure she was quite unwell in those last few weeks and months, but I've spoken to someone where her mum passed away, and then she's like, I was like a teenager and kind of felt like I was thrust into this maternal role in the house and picking up and doing more housework and all of those things that you really don't usually have to do until much later on, and then you just kind of thrust into that because of the circumstance. Did you feel like that happened to you too?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, God bless my dad, love him, but he's like a meat and three veg kind of guy, like a muesli bar in your lunchbox, you'll be right. You know.
Yeah.
And like even us, my husband now, like I hate eating the same meal 2 days in a row. Like, and my mum really loved cooking when we lived on the farm. There was obviously like just an IGA in town, but she would want to cook a recipe and they wouldn't have a spice, so she'd get them to like order it in so she could cook a recipe. So yeah, like I did a lot of cooking, kind of taught myself to cook a bit as a teenager. That was probably, yeah. So definitely I think you'd kind of take on some of that maternal role, whether that's by necessity or just because it's something for you to feel comfortable in or you enjoy doing. And I definitely enjoyed doing it, but I also remember, you know, as a young adult kind of not really enjoying cooking, and I think because I feel like I did a lot really early, but now, you know, I love cooking for my family and friends, because it's probably imprinted from a young age that that's a way of showing love, I guess. But we did have a pretty, like, mum and dad were like, they weren't strict, but you know, held good boundaries, and we always had, you know, clear kind of chores and the money system and all the rest. So I think some of those things were like set up, so it wasn't particularly, I guess, uneven. It was only me and my brother. Like we weren't a huge family, so not a huge amount, but yeah.
And another thing, sorry, that's popped into my mind, I'm just adding questions, but what it was like for you to watch your dad grieve as well, like him having to be a parent and grieving at the same time, like did you feel the weight of that, or did you find that hard?
Yeah, definitely. And I think maybe, and I like my dad, he's, you know, like from a farming family, like there's not a lot of like emotional, deep, meaningful conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I wonder whether he did a bit of grieving before she passed, because she was sick for a really long time, and that, you know, would have had a huge, probably would have been a really big weight lifted off his shoulders when she did pass. Obviously he would have been sad, whereas I guess, like I said before, maybe the thought didn't cross my mind until it was kind of really clearly explained to us that that was probably what was going to happen. So yeah, but no, I wouldn't say that I didn't feel any kind of weight from his grief. Like, I think it's really something he did really well was, not put that kind of like emotional pressure on me or my brother. My grandma, who we're really close with growing up, she actually got diagnosed with breast cancer at the same time as my mum.
Oh my God.
And yeah, she's still alive. She after that she had some treatment and she got better. But I think she's always really carried a lot of kind of survivor guilt or something. And so that was probably a harder relationship in some ways, because I think maybe needed to lean on her a little bit. And maybe it's my personality trying to, you know, move on and look for the good in things. But she really carries that around. So, you know, sometimes I think, would I like to have a conversation with her about my mum? But I always think, oh, it's really hard, because I know that still so much emotion for her in that situation, which is totally understandable. Like, oh, yeah, can you imagine?
outliving your child, and she's got children, and yes, totally. I mean, it's understandable, but I think it's quite common, and I've had this conversation a couple of times where, you know, you don't want to ask the person who's hurting and grieving as well. You don't want to like poke and make things harder or make them feel upset. And it's hard because you have questions and you want to know things, but it feels almost like not worth it. That's probably not the right way to say it, but you just don't want to bring it up and dredge up more emotion. That's
hard. Yeah. Really hard. Probably need to start having some conversations with her about it though, because I've got two daughters myself and want to, you know, do all the right screening and I guess have all the information. You kind of don't want to have all the information, but have all the information to make sure that you're on top of your own health, I guess.
Yeah. And that didn't even cross my mind. Is that something that you are fearful of or worry about?
I say no, but I've thought about it for a long time and never done it. So I think yes, you know, like kind of don't ask the question you don't want to know the answer to.
Yeah.
But I like rationally, I think that if I, you know, if there, so she would have been diagnosed in 1998 or 99. So that's like,
oh my gosh. You're asking the worst possible person.
Sorry, like 15 years ago, maybe?
Right.
So, like, how far has modern medicine come in that time? How much more do we know? Like, all of those things, like, rationally, I know that. But the thought of actually kind of going down the path and, you know, maybe like it might not be that my family history suggests anything, say genetic, don't even have to go down the path, but
just a box you need to tick, but it's a scary one to
but this year's the year, so
we've got it on a recording now too, so hold you accountable. We'll hold everyone accountable.
You can call me in a year and say, hey, honey, with you.
But it's like, I don't know, like me with like a skin check. Like I always think, I need to get a skin check. And I never ever have. And
I went the other day and it's not really that scary. Okay. Honestly, it took like 5 minutes in and out. Like
I need to do it. See, this is my sign. Because I've been saying it for years. I'm like, I just need to do it. And then I'll feel so much better and relief. Okay, that's my sign to do it as well. Yeah. I need to book that in. Okay, next question. How has your experience of losing your mum impacted your own approach to parenting?
Oh, God. I mean, I don't, like, how is it not?
Yeah.
I think in some ways it, like, that entryhood into parenthood was more challenging because of it. I think like I said before, like it was kind of a, it made becoming a parent, becoming a mother made, what did I missed out on? What are the things that I would want to ask, the conversations that I would want to have, really real? And also to think about that, you know, tiny little baby should go through that later in their life. You know, so yeah, I think, I just remember when I had my first daughter, and obviously like hormones are wild, you know, postpartum's like hard enough as it is. And I just, like, I would go to bed to have a nap or something. So I'd be like, go and have a nap and like, I'll hold Ella or whatever. And just go to bed and cry. And I had never cried like that about losing my mum until that like point in time. It was like I actually kind of grieved really properly in a way, which is bizarre. And I kind of wish someone had warned me that that would happen. And I don't know if it happens for, sorry, I didn't want to cry. I don't know if it happens for every mum who has lost their mum or their dad when they become a parent, but that's what happened for me.
Like such a big release of emotion when you're already, like you said, like postpartum is just crazy, you know, you're emotional and hormonal and all of that. But yeah, it's really interesting that it happened for you at that time and so long after she had passed. It makes so much sense though. I mean, again, I don't want to keep bringing it back to me, but like the loss of my dad, since I've had kids, every year for me, I find now I get more emotional about it. I feel more like connected to the situation. And once I get more and more understanding of the events and everything, like this year on the anniversary of his death, I could not stop crying. And I'm like, nothing different. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, it's just sadder and sadder that they're not here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think that's, it weirdly becomes sadder. And I mean, like people say time, like that it doesn't change, doesn't like grief doesn't get less over time. But yeah, I definitely think there's things that happen in your life that you, I don't know, maybe understand that grief more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like years would go by, which it sounds really awful, that I would just wouldn't, the anniversary of her passing would go by and I'd kind of not realize that that had happened, like that the date just didn't, but not since becoming a parent or her birthday, like it would kind of go by and I wouldn't think about it. Yeah. And then a couple of days later I'd be like, oh, that was, you know, the other day. So
it's so tough that like the just, yeah, I really feel for everyone I've spoken to so far has been a parent and lost a parent. It's just, I think it's just a whole new level because you're really getting an everyday experience of what you're missing.
I think that's really interesting that those are the people who have kind of come forward.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I didn't think of just yesterday. I was like, I think every single person has got children and it's such a through line. Like everybody is just.
And I think like my, Mitch, my husband asked me, oh, you know, why did you kind of say that you would do it? And I said, well, I kind of wished I had listened to something or heard someone talk about being a parent without your parent before it happened to me.
In the face. Yes, but also would make you feel like once you're going through it, like, okay, well, I remember listening to this and this is normal, or you know, that's the whole reason why I started the podcast, not just because of the passing of my dad, but just, you know, all the experiences I've had as a child, like wishing that I could listen to somebody else talking about it and be like, yes, like someone gets it, or someone knows how I feel, even if I don't know them.
You listen to something and someone kind of like labels how you're feeling without, and you haven't even thought about, oh, actually I do feel like that, but I just couldn't, you know, figure it out for myself.
Yeah, but I'm grateful, and like you're girls will be able to listen one day and know. I mean, I think hopefully. I mean, hopefully,
they'll be like, "Oh, mom, how embarrassing!
What's a podcast?" but well, I was just saying the other day, like, I wonder if it will be the same for my children. But like, the older I've gotten and having my own kids, I'm more intrigued, and you want to know where you came from and your roots and what the people were like that raised you and like your mom's life before, you know, before she even had you and all of those things. I'm a super curious person, but I wonder, I mean, I want to know about my grandparents and all of that too. So I wonder if that will happen with our children too. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
The world will be a crazy place when
I don't really want to think about it.
That I know.
It's scary, isn't it?
It's so scary.
Oh. Ways has grief affected your personal and professional life, and how have you coped with the ongoing process of healing?
I think I wish I had a pen and paper, because someone once described grief in this amazing visual way. I'll try and describe it. It probably won't make sense. You'll cut it out. But they kind of like drew on a piece of paper. And if you can imagine, like, they just drew a big ball of circles, a big dot of like, this is grief. And then your life kind of like goes on, and it might go over here, and then it kind of comes back and it kind of touches the grief, or it's like right around the grief for a moment, and it kind of goes over here, and you know, things happen and it brings you kind of back to the grief. And I feel like that's a really great way of describing it for me, that you know, like months, years even will go by, and obviously I, you know, think about it every day, but that kind of sadness or anger or like whatever, those feelings of grief aren't necessarily there, and then something happens and you just like, yeah, slaps you in the face.
Yeah.
You just like, whoa, you know, I'm really sad about that, or I really miss her, or I really wish I could talk to her. Yeah, so I think sometimes really good, and I wouldn't say that it's affected my personal or professional life, and other times you feel really, I guess, challenged and low and just want to have a conversation or know more or wish, you know, why did this happen to me. But I'm just trying to think of like really tangible.
No, I think that's a really good analogy. I don't think I've heard of it described that way before, but it's like it's always there, but you're kind of sometimes you're closer to it and sometimes you're not, like you're closer to the grief, and then other times you're a bit further away from it and it's not as prominent, you know, and that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And like it's not always the times I think that you expect to be close to it. That like, I kind of always thought like my wedding day would be really hard, but I didn't really find it that hard from that perspective, because I had all these like other amazing people who've, you know, been part of my life and supported me and, you know, been those little pieces of what mum would have been for me throughout my life. And yeah, no, sorry. It's totally okay. Gone.
I've got a question that's just, I've actually got one more last question, but something that just popped into my mind. It's not in your questions, so feel free not to answer it. But I was just thinking about you speaking about your stepmom and step siblings. Are you able to talk a little bit about when your dad was moving on and getting married again, like how you felt about that?
Yeah, I found it really hard. This is okay. I'm going to try and explain this, and please tell me if it like makes sense or doesn't make sense. So my stepmom is actually my mum's cousin.
Oh my gosh. This is, it makes sense. This has happened in my life.
So not related to my dad.
Yep.
But so my stepmom is like my second cousin once removed or something. And my step siblings are my, you know, something cousins. So our grandfathers, me and my step siblings, our grandfathers are brothers. Whoa.
That I'll have to tell you after this, after we're off. Yeah. <here.
laughs> Sometimes I have to draw that on a piece of paper to convince, like it's all okay, everyone.
Yeah, I get it. Because it's like your dad has, yeah, picked two people from that are from a family, but he's not related to them. Yes, yes, yes. I get it.
I'm really lucky in that way that my stepmom knew my mom and they were actually like quite good friends. You know, both lived in Sydney when they were like, my stepmom was growing up, and I think my stepmom was there like the day after I was born and met me. So that's pretty amazing and pretty special at certain moments that, you know, she can like, yeah, she can say your mum would be proud of you or whatever. And it's really, you know, she like it's more like she knows. So, but my dad had kind of dated another person like pretty soon after my mum passed away. I found that really hard. But I think, like I said before, you know, not speaking for him, but you know, maybe he'd done a bit of grieving because she'd been really sick for really long. So it would like really change the relationship that you have with your partner, I'm sure. And that was actually a mother of a friend of mine from school. And
come on, Dad.
Come on, Dad.
Come on. Which was,
like, I had some mate, like we had great times. Me and my friend Kayla, but yeah, Kayla's mom was
shout out to Kayla.
So that they dated for a while, and then we went back to my dad's like parents' farm in like far western New South Wales for like school holidays, and my now stepmom and my step siblings kind of came, and we all had a great time on the farm, and I think we did that a couple of times, and you know, they you know, started talking and hanging out, and that's where that started. But I remember I was so angry when dad told me. I don't remember. I think it must have just been dad sat me down and told me. And I think I kind of knew, you know, like I was old enough to pick up on things. Like he was always going to Karen's house, like at night, or you know, because we were kind of old enough to be home alone a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was really angry. But I think part of that was because like I also had grown to have a really close relationship with Karen. Like when mum was really sick at the end, you know, like she'd, being family, like would come and like pick us up and take us to school and take us home, or we'd do stuff after school when, because the home wasn't necessarily a super nice environment, and my mum is really unwell. So yeah, maybe I was more angry about a lot of those feelings were just obviously partly like dad moving on, but that wasn't kind of the first relationship that he'd had. So
yeah.
I think some of it was how does that change my relationship, or I don't know if that
it does it does make sense. It's so tricky.
Yeah, so I think everyone had their reactions, and there was definitely like bumps in the road, but it wasn't like I lived with my step siblings, but my brother didn't really for very long, and so like we all have different kind of relationships, I guess, just as you do. But I mean, like brothers and sisters, whether you're you know full, half, step, like whatever, everyone has different relationships and they evolve over time. So I don't think it's not as like crazy as I think people think.
It's interesting. I mean, like blending a family is always interesting, but just with like a death of somebody in the mix, I just think it's, and like you're all kind of grieving and your acceptance of that, and I think that's really tough. And
it definitely has had some big impacts on like relationships on my mum's side of the family, which is really disappointing, because I think from my perspective and from my brother's perspective, I think like for us it was a positive thing in the end and is a positive thing in our lives now. You know, how different would our lives look like if my dad was, you know, sad and lonely? I don't want dad to be sad and lonely.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really hard, I think. I often think that, and I don't know if other people who've been in similar situations, that like some adults in my life didn't, you know, act like adults and, you know, put the most important people first, which are the kids in the situation.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like your happiness and you being okay with it, I guess, is the most important thing. And you were, so.
Yeah. Yeah. The people at the epicenter of the, you know, the family or the relationships, that's what matters. And the people in the periphery just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's like who it affects the most is you guys. And yeah, that's really it's very interesting. Thank you for answering that, by the way. Last question. Looking back on your experience, is there any advice you would give to someone who has recently lost a parent?
It's hard. Like, feel what you feel. It doesn't get easier over time. Like, it does get easier, like I said, but, you know, it'll come and go. It's kind of hard to think about because I was such a different, you know, like a 14-year-old versus who I am now.
Yeah.
I did kind of read this question and can I answer it in a slightly different way?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I think my advice would be like for the people around kids who have lost their parent, like don't be afraid to like talk about them and tell stories and remember them and keep them real for their kids, because I think sometimes people like tiptoe around these things. But actually, you know, kids want to know.
Yeah.
And adults want to know when they're not kids anymore.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's really great. And I agree, because then feeling like you can't ask or it's going to make everyone uncomfortable, don't be sorry. It's something I've said in almost every episode, so everyone's probably going to be sick of me saying this, but of all the episodes I've done in regards to loss or losing someone, a child, a parent, whatever it is, there's not been one person yet that said like, and I never wanted to speak about them again. Like every single person is like, please talk about them, please don't act like they never existed, and you know, have this shame attached to it in some way that we can't bring them up because they're not here anymore. Like the most healing thing and comforting thing you can do is talk, like you said, talk about them and keep their memory alive and share those things, those little bits and pieces that you wouldn't know because you were so young and what they were like, you know.
And don't be like afraid to say the wrong thing, because I don't think you can say the wrong thing other than this girl in my class in year 9 who came up to me like bawling about her boyfriend had just broken up to me like the first day I was back at school, and I was like,
what's her name? Let's put her on blast.
I actually don't even remember her name, but I just was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Not the same. Oh my gosh, some people just can't read the room at all.
But I mean, she obviously just had something going on in her life, but
just trying to relate, trying to be relatable. Oh my god.
No, like, yeah, I just don't, I think people, if your heart's in the right place, like yeah, you can't say the wrong thing, and people, if someone doesn't want to talk about something, they won't tell you about it.
Yeah, but, I agree. Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being like, is that, you know, is that okay for me to say that? Are you okay? Do you want to talk about this or do you not? Like, it's might feel a little bit over the top, but I don't know. I think, like you said, it's better to try and to bring it up. And like you said, don't be afraid to say the wrong thing. And if they don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this, Yani. This has been a really beautiful conversation.
And so sorry for my.
Don't be sorry, but I really appreciate it. I know it's not an easy conversation to have, and it's going to be helpful for so many people, especially I think the element of parents moving on. I haven't discussed that yet. And like, especially because you were a teenager, of course, like you're your dad had a whole life ahead of him. So I think that's really interesting too, and it adds a different layer to this conversation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I hope I haven't mischaracterized anyone's feelings about that. But yeah, it's a scary thing and a weird thing to think about, probably, especially if you've just lost a parent or lost a parent, and that might happen. Maybe different too, because I was kind of young. Like, I don't know, like, if my parents are still together now and then my mum died or my dad passed away, and then they moved on, like, maybe I'd feel different about it. But
that's a nice hope.
I want everyone to be happy.
Yes, of course. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the interview. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you follow us on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast, turn on the notification bell so you never miss an episode, and leave a review. See you next week. Bye-bye.